love to praise
a little
name.
Bit louder, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
I love to pray. You know that I love to. In the morning, I love. In the evening, I love. Monday, Tuesday, I love. Wednesday, Thursday, I love. Even on the weekend, I love. When I'm at work, y'all, I love. When I'm in home, y'all, I love. Going in the valley, I love. Even on a mountain, I love to praise His holy name.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You sound all right this morning. Sound like you ate breakfast this morning. Amen. God is good. God is good. We thank Him for blessing us to see another day.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you are honored guests, and thank you for joining us today. Whether you came with someone, you're in the city visiting, you just passed down the highway and just started to stop, you're in the right place this morning.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day. Yeah, it's just a different atmosphere on Father's Day than it is on Mother's Day for some reason. I don't know what it is. But God is good. He's good, and we are blessed here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and we're here to worship God because this is the Lord's Day. But God is the Holy Father.
Amen.
He's the Father of fathers. And we're not shortchanging God today. We're not shortchanging the fathers today, sisters, today. Amen, somebody. Yeah. You're going to take us somewhere to eat today, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The title of my lesson this morning is Our Father. Our Father. I know you've heard this verse a million times. Well, this is a million times plus one this morning. I want you to meet with me in the book of Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 9. Jesus talking, and He's teaching. Jesus was a wonderful master teacher, and He ministered and served and taught at the same time. And now that's a good combination.
Yeah.
Call that on-the-job training. On-the-job training to me is the best kind of training.
Yeah.
Because as you are training, you are teaching and training, and you're putting it in action. And He's teaching His disciples, and He says to them, pray then in this way. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Pray then in this way. And he recited a prayer that many people have recited throughout the years. And some of us recite it as if we are Jesus, and we not. Because He's actually teaching us how to pray. And so some people say it's the model prayer. But listen to the words. He starts off with Our Father. Our Father. And He could truly say that because, you know, God is the whole world's Father. For those who are here today, those who are in the United States, those who are in other countries, present, past, everybody that has ever been born, everybody that will ever be born, God is the Father. And you know, I think if the world really understood that we would be acting a whole lot different. Because sometimes we live lives like we are the Father. Like we're in charge of everything. And we make all of our decisions based on me, myself, and I. But we need to understand. I know we understand in here this morning that God is our Father. And I may need to qualify that a little bit, but I want to go turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 24. I want to try to finish this lesson this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Listen to what the Bible says. The God who made the world, because you know there are quote unquote gods with a little g, all kinds of gods, too many to even enumerate. The God who made the world and all things in it. Does that leave anything out? He says everything in the world. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. And you see, it's a small h. Everything that's in the sky, the stars, the moon, everything in heaven, everything on earth, God made. Listen to what the Bible says. Does not dwell in temples made with hands. Yeah, yeah. And we spend money on edifices, places for us to come and worship. And we really could take this roof off. And I know you say, don't take the air out, Brother Gary. But we could take the air out and God would still be in our presence if we're worshiping him. And so if you will, for an instance, take the roof off. Everywhere you go, when you ride down the highway and you go downtown and see all those buildings, when you go to Colorado and glare at the mountains, when you're in Hawaii and you see the sun rise, know that God made everything. That's the kind of father you want. Amen. Who's over all. The scripture says this. He doesn't dwell in temples, nor is he served by human hand. There, we can't do enough for God. God, Brother Terry prayed, God does not need us. He desires us. He wants us, but God don't need any help doing nothing. Amen, somebody. And you know what? We all need help doing something. See, that's what distinguishes God. That's what distinguishes the Father from anybody. Can't nobody compare to the Father, because God does not need us to do nothing for him. And Lord, don't we need some people? Oh, we can say we don't need anybody. As soon as we say that, we need somebody. Yes, he says this. He says this. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath. And everybody say, all things.
All
things. See, God is our sustainer.
Yeah.
Do you know why the world haven't ended yet? Because God ain't ready for it yet. But he might be ready any minute.
Yeah.
And it will end when God says God is in control of everything. Shouldn't that change our demeanor? Shouldn't that demand that we honor and respect our Father? Oh, have mercy. My goodness gracious. And he made from one man every nation. I said this a few weeks ago. We all kin. We all kin folks. Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of us, you know, our hair is a little different. Some of us, we are a little shade. Some folks can't. I wish I was lighter. You're not lighter. I wish I was darker. You're not darker. But we all come from the sun. See, listen, we all have the pleasure. We can brag on our Father because he's our Father. Yeah, all of us, we're related to one another. Every man of every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. God designed for you to be in this generation. God designed for every person that has ever been born to be in the generation that they are today. Through his providence, yes, God gives us the will to make our own decisions, but God stays in control. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what has happened in the past. That they would seek, notice this, he put us here that they would seek God. God wants every person in the world to seek him. And if we seek him as our Father, we will find God. With no exception. There is no excuse for somebody not recognizing that there's somebody much bigger, much smarter than they are. And he wants us to seek him. He's glad that we're here today worshiping his great name. I know you could be fishing. I know you could be washing your car. You could be cutting the grass. Your grass is high. It's going to be there when you get there. He wants us to seek him. Brother Raymond, thank you for lifting us up in song this morning. God is pleased with good singing. And he wants us to seek. You're in the right place. Get all that other stuff out your mind right now. You can't change it in here anyway. And you're in the right place. Give God what he deserves. Give our fathers what they deserve. What he deserves. And see, you know what? You want to do something good for a good daddy. Yeah, and that's why you're going to do something good for a good daddy.
Amen.
You want to please daddy. Don't you want to please daddy? Be quiet, y'all. And that's why we do sing songs of praise, because as Terry said in his prayer, he's worthy to be praised. Listen to this. If perhaps they might grope for him and find him. And it seems that some of us have a little bit more difficult time than others trying to find God and trying to find our purpose for our life. But God wants us to see. God will open the door if you seek him. But he's not going to make us do anything. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of parenting style God has designed. He's given us the will to do, to make choices. But God does not twist our arms. He wants us to love him. Because he's so good. But he wants us to do it on our own. Though he's not far from each of us. God is nearer than we think. But Gary, you don't understand. You don't understand the circumstance. I've been living in circumstances that it's hard for me to see God. God understands. And God is nearer than you think. Even through your circumstances, God can use you to his glory and his honor. For in him we live, the scripture says, and move and exist. And even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine, see, divine means not of this world. The divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Get that out of your mind. Stop trying to see how God looks and just know God is not of this world. And the rewards he has for us are not of this world. And I know we can't hardly imagine because we want to see gold things. We want to see beautiful things. But God has something in store for his children that we can't even imagine. That's our Father. That's our Father. And Jesus says, pray like this, our Father. And recognize him as our Father. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father. I do. I'm not naive, and I'm not naive. I know there's some still struggling. Those of you just watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in this morning. I know perhaps there's someone here may have come here reluctantly because you're still struggling. One sister told me last week, "Brother Gary, pray for my grandson. My grandson, he started talking about like that. He don't even believe in God anymore." And I've been hearing that too often from many of our young folks. Who are confused and they're getting fed with this foolishness, and the alternative that you are being fed is based on nothing, no facts, no evidence. And I would just have a warning for you: if you don't believe there is a God, you better be right. Amen. Somebody, what do you mean, brother? I mean you better be right if there is not a God. Let me read a passage to you, if you will, from Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, because you're talking about our daddy now. When I was in school, I don't know if they still do it now. Not now, you know, some like kids don't fight. They bring guns and shoot folks. But when I was in school, they used to fight. Now, I didn't fight. Well, maybe one time I fought. But they used to fight. You know what was the quickest fight? You talk about somebody's mama? Well, it really wasn't daddy they talk about. They talk about mama. I don't know why, brother, why we didn't fight by daddy? That's a shame. But when people talking about people's mamas, it was a fight. So I shouldn't even brought that example up. That wasn't even a good example. Let me read this to you. But because of your stubbornness, and I know you're not in here this morning. I hope you're not in here this morning. An unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, our Father is good. Oh, Lord, he's wonderful. He's merciful. He rewards us. He blesses us with all the spiritual blessings. And he blesses us even while we're on this earth. But our Father don't play. And the scripture speaks of his wrath. Because God is a righteous judge. See, he has to judge the world because one day folk who keep rebelling against him, one day they will have to pay for it. He is a righteous judge. God made the laws. He made the rules. And he wants us to follow the rules. So there has to be consequences when God makes rules. Lord have mercy. You know, when I was coming up, I used to thank my daddy. You know, after my daddy got into church and boy, he was leading us. You know, I held my daddy way. I was afraid of him, kind of. But I had so much respect for my dad. And daddy laid the law down. And his laws were clear, crystal clear. You knew when you broke his law. There was no doubt about it. And listen, God is a righteous. And now it's difficult often in life now to say what's right and what's wrong to the world. The world would say, this is all right. This is all right. This is all right. Sometimes the world say everybody is all right. But God has laws. And God has designed the way he wants marriage to be. He did that in almost the beginning of time. He said, for this cause, a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. That's God's law. Now, God loves everybody. Thank you, Lord. God is patient, long-suffering. God knows that we struggle with things, but his laws have not changed. And one day before we leave this earth, we got to make up our mind, are we going to listen to daddy? Or are we going to listen to somebody else? Because the Bible said he is a righteous, he will give righteous judgment, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. That's daddy. And while we love to read the scriptures of how good God is, that's in the Bible also. So I would warn you, young man or young lady, who you may be confused. It's all right to be confused, but don't make any definitive statements that you don't know what you are saying, that they are not based on the scripture. They're not based on facts. They're not based on, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, and so we're praying for you. Yes, he's our Father. And then Jesus goes on to say, he says, our Father who is in heaven. See, listen, God is in heaven. Yeah. God, our Father. The scripture said that's he's in heaven. That's noteworthy because that's our permanent residence. Yes. See, that's where, and I know we might not be ready to go there yet. And, you know, we say that sometimes, you know, I want to go to heaven, but I ain't ready to go yet. You know what? I'm ready. I wish I could be in heaven today. If heaven is anything, see, the Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard what God has prepared for those that love him. So if heaven is like that, why aren't we ready to go today? Amen. Well, yeah, I'm going to leave my wife. You don't have to worry about your wife when you get to heaven. Amen, somebody. Or your husband. You don't have to worry about anything when we get to God. Our Father is in his, is in our permanent residence. Yeah, listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18. 2 Chronicles 6, 18. But will God indeed dwell with mankind on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house, the house that, that Solomon, the house that David wanted to build, his Solomon's son has built, and he wanted to build a dwelling place for God, to honor God, and that's what it was for. But listen, it goes on the right. He says, look, but listen, will God dwell with mankind? God not going to stay on earth with mankind forever. There's nothing that can contain God. There's nothing that can contain our Father. He goes on to say, Jesus, he said, hallow it. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He says, our Father who is art in heaven, hallow it. It's the word that actually means sanctify. Holy, hallow it, sanctified. You know, our theme for the year is the word consecrated. It's the word set apart. But there is nobody that's sanctified like God. Yeah, nobody that's sanctified. I still hold my dad, and I know many of you hold your dad in high regard. Because it's just, if you got a good dad, you need to say praise, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Yeah, you need to say thank you, Lord. Because, boy, can't nobody replace a good dad. Not while we on this earth. Yeah, you got a good daddy, you better thank the Lord every single day. Yeah. And you know, when you young, when you a kid, you think your daddy can do anything. Yeah, you think your daddy can do anything. And it's good when daddies have their health and they're strong and they just make hard things seem easy. Yes, you know, like opening a bottle of pickles. I know, sisters, y'all just be quiet for a second. I know some of them sisters sitting there saying, "Brother, yeah, I can open a pickle." Pause, y'all. Can you let us have a little bit of honor today? See, you're going to go get a knife, hit it on the side of the... But I used to love to take my dad, he used to open up, not pickle jars, because I can't stand pickles. I'm sorry if I hurt y'all feeling, but... But my dad used to open jelly jars, the jelly that they would make in the country, and it had a top on it, then it had a little cap on it. Y'all remember that? The young folk don't know nothing about that. Y'all been buying jelly in the store? That's not jelly, that's illy. But daddy used to eat the jelly because he cooked. On Saturday mornings, my daddy would cook breakfast. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He cooked breakfast, and he cooked it better than mama. Mothers. And he cooked sausage. Yes, pan sausage. And sometimes he would cook, you know, the long sausage, he'd slice it and put it in the skillet. And he always cooked biscuits. Now he did. Sometimes he would buy the canned biscuits. And back then they wasn't no Hungry Jacks, them big juicy biscuits. They'd had the little skinny can. But we thought those was the best. We thought those was the best. But every now and then my daddy would do homemade biscuits. And we had syrup sometimes. We had that yellow can syrup. What's that called? What is it? Pucane. That syrup would kill somebody. it was so It was so thick, boy. That was some thick syrup. But when we go to the country, my grandmothers, they would give us jelly. And but those jars, it seemed like they put them, put a top on it with a, I don't know what, but you couldn't get. And we at the table say, Daddy, open the jelly, open the jelly. And Daddy would say, give me that jar, boy. And he'd grab that can and shoot, open that jelly. And we'd say, Daddy, strong. I know many of our fathers do, but when you got a daddy who you know that whatever it is that's going on, he's going to come. I remember we had a flat on the side of the road coming from the country, and it scared us to death because, you know, Ty was making all this noise, and Daddy pulled a car to the side, and we all sitting in the car, you know. But Daddy got, we knew if Daddy was working on it, it was going to be all right. See, our Father is in heaven. When last time you been on an airplane? See, when you up real high, everything looks small. When you get past the clouds where you can see, and it makes the world, you know, this is what gets me. When I'm on the plane, we're coming down, when you're landing, I always like to look out the window, and everything that's big, it looks so small, and it looks like, that just looks like toys. God is in heaven. He knows when you go to the bathroom. He knows everything that's going on, because by all power, God controls the whole, and that's our daddy. That we need to claim the relationship and keep the relationship with Daddy and never let it go. I'm trying to come up with emphasis to help young folks love God and trust. If you know who God is, if you know that it's your God. You haven't tapped in the power of Daddy. I'm not overstating this, because I can hear somebody say, well, Brother Gary, I don't have a daddy. I didn't have a good daddy. I didn't come up in a home with a daddy. That's why you need to make God your daddy. Psalms chapter 68, verse 5. He's a father of the fatherless. And a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation where God lives? He knows what's going on. And I know sometimes it doesn't seem like God act as quickly as we want him to act, but God is still in control. And that's why all of us need to be making disciples, making individuals, making other children of God, that God can have vessels to spread his love and more people will know who God is. Yeah, I say this about our Father who is in heaven. He's wise. He's wise. And sometimes when a father is wise, you know, see, a good daddy trains. A good daddy trains. A good daddy does not do everything for his children. Amen, somebody. That's a good daddy. Now, a good daddy just does not do. A good daddy trains and teaches and lets us go through trial and error. It hadn't actually come on yet, but I was looking at an excerpt that came on TV, I think earlier this week, and it was talking about Ben Hogan. And I don't know if some of you may not know who Ben Hogan. He was one of the greatest golfers. He's dead now, but he won a number of major tournaments, and they're doing a story on him that's coming on television. They had an excerpt, and Ben Hogan, he made a quote. He says, you know, I feel sorry for the rich kids. Because Ben Hogan came up in hard times, hard times. He slept on the sidewalk. He didn't have any money to buy his clubs, and he would earn enough money and he would buy one club. And at golf, you're supposed to have 14 clubs to be an official, have official golf set. And he'd buy one club at a time, and he practiced all the time. He practiced on a place where they let him, he was caddy and part-time practicing, and they kicked him off the course, and he had a hard time. But boy, he became, through all of his adversity, he became one of the best golfers that ever lived. And he said, I feel sorry for the rich kids because they got everything handed to them. He said, I've had a hard life. All of my, and it's just, it's excellent. He said, I had a hard life all of my life. I had to work for everything. I couldn't take anything for granted. But he said, it made me who I am today. See, some of you have a story. See, listen, I hope this, don't take this the wrong way. I grew up in a home with a daddy and a mama. All of my life, I saw daddy and mama. And you know what? That's how God designed. That's what God wants in all, for all of our families. For you, for a man and a woman to get married, to have children and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's way. And it is the easier way for the child. And it should be. So I don't, there's no apologies for it. But if you haven't grown up in that type of environment, it's a disadvantage. In life, you have struggles that I never knew anything about. And we might as well tell the truth about it. But at some point, we have to take hold of our life. We have to decide what kind of future that we're going to have. But you have a victory story that I will never have. The trials and tribulations if you grew up, cooperate with me if you will. If you're here this morning and you grew up in a home with one parent, would you raise your hand if you don't mind? You don't have to. Look around. Look how many individuals grew up in homes. I'm not going to ask you whether you had a mother or whether you had a father. But thank God that you are here today. Listen, you are here for a reason. Your story, your victory, your trials will help someone else. See, I need to counsel with you about my life. No, what you need to do is counsel with somebody who knows your journey. Yeah, I can give you counsel through the Word of God. I don't believe a person have to be burned to understand that fire hurts. Amen, somebody. And so I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, at some time, we have to take control of what God has given us, the circumstance that God has given us, and give God the glory and understand His word and follow His teachings, and God gonna raise us up. Because He is our Father, who is a father to the fatherless, who is a watcher of the widows, the orphans. God makes concessions for you. And so He is our Father. That's why we can say He's all of our fathers. So stop saying you don't have a father. You do have a father. We thank God for him. Listen to Jesus as he continues to talk. He says, your kingdom come. Now, Jesus was on the earth at this time. The kingdom is the church. The church hadn't been established yet, but we know that after Jesus died, the church was established on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, but Jesus says, your kingdom is coming. Your will be done. See, we want God's will to be done because God knows us. And when God's will will be done, everybody's going to be taken care of. There will be no disadvantages. He says, on earth. That's why we know God. He says, God, I'm praying, Lord Jesus, Lord who's in control, the Lord who's in heaven, your kingdom is coming, the church is coming, that's going to be the families for everybody. He says, your will be done, Lord, while we're living on this earth, and when we go to heaven. That's why Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that you might, Listen, I want to raise your hand mentally if you believe that the Christian life is the best life. I say mentally, but I can raise my hand. Listen, you say what you will or may. Hey, being a crook is hard. Being a thief, if you are living a life of lying, that's a hard life. Being a gigolo, do they still call them gigolos? Being a player, and players used to be players were all men. You know, players are women too now. You be a player, you're gonna die early being a player. Either a disease gonna kill you or one of them folks gonna kill you. The Christian life is the best life. You know what? I got a good wife. Now, maybe I shouldn't brag too much, but my wife don't have a boyfriend on the side. Look at how you know that, don't you? Don't worry, you leave that alone, okay? And don't be sending me no texts and no email.
Amen.
But when if you got a Christian husband, don't be negative. Don't let the devil be negative. Make you be negative. You don't know these Christian men. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about perpetrators. Sisters, if you got a Christian man, hold on to him. Honor him. Treat him good. Listen, this is the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I knew I wasn't going to have time to finish this. This is our family. Church family, can we say amen?
Amen.
Listen, this is the family. This is God's church. We're his children. Note, he is our Father. He's in heaven. Our dad is you. We good. We're trying to model the Father, but we don't replace our Father. And so, listen, Jesus, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, sanctified be your name. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom is here. Thy will be done. I'm going to stop. I got some more. He says, thy will be done. And when your earthly family, see, when we acting right, we have our marriage retreat coming up in the end of this month. And we do the retreat to encourage families. It's a husband and wife because it starts with husband and wife in the home. And we want to encourage our husbands and wives to be who God intended for us to be. Because you say what you will admit. When the family is blessed, when the family is following God's model, everybody's blessed. Children, grandchildren. Listen, the family was here before the church was here. And so if our homes, if our families are awry, it's going to affect our family, our church family. See, if you divorce because we are a church family, if you divorce, it hurts. That's why Jesus, he says, thy will be done on earth. And see, we have to fight selfishness, because we our selfish desires get in the way. And you know, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so God is our Father, and should we fear God? Well, you got to have an awe and respect for God. That's because when our own desires and our own wants clash with God's wisdom and God's instruction, sometimes Fear is the only thing that's going to get you or keep you right. And so, yes, we do fear God. I do fear that what God could do to me if I get out of line. I do. But also we know perfect love. I believe that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Perfect love casts out. God don't want us to fear him. As our relationship grows and develops, and like, you know, when I was coming up as a little boy, you know why I didn't shoplift? Well, let me just say this. Why I tried not to shoplift. Let me say this truthfully. You know why it would terrify me to pick up something that I wasn't supposed to be picking up? The most terrifying thing was my daddy. Because I knew if I survived getting out the place, if I got in jail or got in trouble, if I survived that, I wasn't going to survive my daddy. So I had that fear. But as our relationship developed, and I know that he's trying to teach me right, and he's trying to teach me good, and he don't want any harm to come to me, that fear turns into more love and respect for God, for my dad. And that's what God wants for us. He wants his will. And if we do his will, God's will, do what God, okay, I want to do my will. God's will is the best will. It's better for God's way. Because he is the Father, and this Father knows best for all of us. Why? Because he created us, and he knows all about it. On earth and in heaven. Yeah. I need to stop. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Dear Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father and Judge, we love you. We honor you not just today, but every day. Let's try to be better families, better people for God. Serve God until we die. If you're here, you're not in the family of God. See, God is so wonderful. God will take anybody. I know. That's a dangerous statement. We got the kind of daddy that will take, he will take you fresh out of jail. Oh, no, we need to screen him, Brother Gary. Glad you're not daddy. I mean, yes, we have elders who watch shepherd the church, but our Father, he's like no other. And you can be in the family of God today without reservation by hearing his word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sins. Now, you got to do some changes. Yeah. Daddy don't play. And daddy know when we're playing and when we're lying. We have to confess his name, Jesus' name. We must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of our sins. When we do that, God adds you to his family, to his church. And that's where his kingdom, the church is his kingdom. And God don't have illegitimate children. God has one family that he wants all of his children to be in. If you want to be in that family, then you can be baptized today and be added to God's family. If you're here and you have a prayer request, you want to get something right, won't you come as we stand?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. Yes, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere.